Happy New Year, and welcome to EQ Above IQ, Parenting with Emotional Intelligence and Healing the Inner Child. My name is Trina Casey, and I'm your host. And welcome to the first episode of 2022. Woo! It has been a ride, and I can tell you that personally, the end 2022 has been one of the hardest and most difficult and emotionally conflicting ones of my life. And so I wanted to start this new year out talking about something that is so talked about this past year and a half. And I think COVID has really brought to light a lot of things that have been hidden. And one of the things that I'm going to talk about today, the main thing, is narcissism. I really want to break down what that is. And the reason why I really want to break that down is because I've been accused of being one, which I have thankfully been confirmed I'm not. But the reason why I want to talk about it is because there's definitely people out there that we would consider narcissists. They might not be narcissists, but what they will have is narcissistic traits. So I'm going to break it down and I'm going to explain to you why I think narcissism even exists. Okay, so I'm going to define what narcissism is so that people really understand what it is. Some people think it's just having a big head and an attitude, but it's actually deeper than this. So I'm just going to read what WebMD describes narcissists as. And this was reviewed by Dan Brennan, MD, on December 2nd, 2020. So, narcissism is an extreme self-involvement to the degree that it makes people ignore the needs of those around them. While everyone may show occasional narcissistic behavior, true narcissists frequently disregard others or their feelings. They also do not understand the effect of their behavior on other people. I'm going to read that part again. Because this is personal for me here. They also do not understand the effect of their behavior on other people. And so it's important to note that narcissism is a trait, but it can also be a part of a larger personality disorder. That not every narcissist has a narcissistic personality disorder, as narcissism is a spectrum. People who are at the highest end of the spectrum are those that are classified as NPD, narcissistic personality disorder. But others, while still with narcissistic traits, may fall on lower end of the spectrum. Now, the reason why it is a spectrum, and I think that it is fair to say that, is because we live, like I said, in a very, very narcissistic society. So I'm going to break that down a bit. The foundation of the world is based in narcissism. And the reason why it is because the world is based on colonialism, feudal European colonialism. Now, why is that? That is because feudal European times, they came and they colonized the rest of the world. Why? Because they felt entitled to it. Yes, I'll repeat that. They declared themselves supreme, white supremacy, over everyone else. And why did they do that? Because they had a hierarchy where there were the church, who used religion to basically ordain themselves higher. They were narcissists. They still are, in my opinion. And then they had a monarchy who did the same, basically. And then they had noblemen who did the same. And then we went down to serfdom. And over 75% of the population is serfs there. And because these other classes could do basically whatever they wanted to the serfs, we got a lot of trauma. We got a lot of abuse. I go into really deep detail about this in the episode, I think season two, Globalization of Trauma, because it really is the root of all of the problems we see in the world. Not that other countries did not have their issues with this, but on the scale that colonialism from Europe happened, it's they know nowhere to touch it. China probably runs a close second, but they don't have that same type of narcissism that I've seen in my lifetime, in my 48, almost 49 years on this planet. So because of this, they basically said everybody has to do what we need them to do, and we don't care how they feel about it. Okay. And this structure happened within Europe, the fighting, the warring, the brutality amongst each other, the raping, the killing, all of this just personified and spread out to the rest of the world as the modes of transportation became available. So, yes, narcissism is very, very old. And so, because these particular people built the structures of the world that we live in now, they also built the scarcity that we experience. And I will say personally, I believe most of the scarcity issue is not really an issue. It's a choice. It's a way to keep people thinking that they don't have enough and that we can't make a change. And so the narcissism is not the only mental illness that has come from this. I would say that the majority of most mental illnesses come from this root cause of the self-ordained messiahs and leaders of the world going out and abusing and taking advantage through different vehicles such as religion, missionaries, brute force, wars, physical abuse, which is mentally destabilizing. And, there's more and more proof that that trauma experienced by your great-great-grandmother and your grandmother and whatever trickles down through the generations of your DNA. So there's this memory for survival that exists within us all. So narcissism is deeply embedded in our psyches, in our DNA. But what makes a person a true narcissist? What personality traits, besides not really giving a flying F about anybody else's experience with them, and also not really taking accountability? With emotional intelligence, one of the most important elements is self-awareness. So this is the biggest piece missing from all narcissists, whether they're grandiose or vulnerable. They lack self-awareness because to be self-aware is to be able to see oneself in situations and how they can affect other people, how those behaviors, those actions can affect other people. So if you are a narcissist, you really have a handicap because you cannot see why everybody else is mad at you, or you can't see why your partner is irritated with you because you repeatedly have the same behavior that you choose to minimize because it doesn't affect you, but it affects other people. And you think it's stupid that it affects other people, right? So just to break down what a grandiose narcissist is, that's like, it's like when people are treated or they need to be treated like they are superior or above others during childhood. So they were mostly treated this way in childhood, that, they're super special, that nobody else mattered. And like, come on, parents, how many of you are guilty of this because you had a childhood trauma of either bullying or somebody putting you down, and you just told your kid, oh, well, you're better than them, you're above them, you're this, you're that. And then they all of a sudden, your kid starts bragging about stuff and starts saying that, you know what, my toy is better than your toy. Well, this type of behavior goes all the way up to adulthood. And if you do not parent in a way with empathy and making your children, I shouldn't say making, encouraging your children to not be narcissist as children, you're going to have a narcissistic adult. Throw in a bit of aggression, dominant behavior, exaggerated sense of self. You want to build confidence in your children, but not insensitivity. And, you know, in this world of survival of the fittest, it's hard to find that balance because there was a time when everybody got a reward and nobody could lose. Your children don't know how to handle loss well. And I have been, because I too, as a child, was bullied. I have caught myself allowing my son certain behaviors that I deem to be narcissistic. It doesn't help that his father is a narcissist too. So then you have, speaking of, something called a vulnerable narcissist. This is like behavior usually a result of childhood neglect or abuse. The child who was left on their own all the time to their own devices was left to try to figure things out. And so they're far more sensitive, like really hurt. And so they use the narcissistic behavior to protect themselves against feelings of inadequacy. And so they don't feel less than, but they genuinely go between feelings of inferiority and superiority. And one of the things that they will do is project. So they're easily offended, but they'll say, "You're offended because you reacted to something they did. Why are you so easily offended?" They don't know how to be okay with themselves. They want everybody to treat them as if they're special, that they get a special reward for just kind of existing, but with zero accountability again. And I can tell you that the vulnerable narcissist is much, much harder to detect in the beginning because, you know, they usually have gotten themselves in a lot of positions, aka cheating on an ex or something like this, that makes them seem like so pitiful or so vulnerable. That's the best word to describe it, and that, you know, they will go to the next person and explain all their woes for behavior they actually perpetuated themselves, but don't want to take accountability for. So again, it always comes down to self-awareness. And they may even talk as if they do take accountability, but with no shift. They usually explain away all of the hurt that they caused and then say it was the other person. So there are some pretty clear signs. Back to colonialism, back to the history of most of the world. One of the biggest is a sense of entitlement. They really believe, so like white supremacy is rooted in them thinking they're really superior and deserve special treatment. Look at what white supremacy has done to our structures and the rest of the people who are the 85% of the population who are not white. So they expect others to be obedient in that and to their wishes and the rules that don't apply to them. They have a really, really hard time keeping contracts. So even if they sign a contract, they genuinely believe that they can break that agreement with no penalty, with no. And if they end up getting penalized for that, they just act like petulant children. Okay. And then they go into manipulative behavior, which is another one. So they will please you and try to impress you, but eventually their own needs will always come first. Always their own emotional, financial, whatever it is, will come first. And this will be even with their own children. This will be even with their relationships because you are in relationship with them because that was a desire that they had at that time. And that will change. It's something called love bombing is what they are really, really proficient at. They'll maybe buy you gifts. I will tell you, narcissists are not big on gift giving. So most of the time they don't, unless they're very wealthy. And they will pretend to be very wealthy as well when they're really not. So they will exploit others, intellectual, physical, or financial superiority for themselves. So they will get them to buy them gifts. They will get them to praise them around something that they got from somebody else. They'll take credit for things. So like they'll give you something and they'll pretend like they did it, but in fact somebody else did it. Another trait is that they need admiration. Oh, constant praise. Constant. Because they need to feel validated all the time. They want others to brag or exaggerate their accomplishment. It's really crazy. And it's not very often that they'll give you that same type of praise in the same way, unless they're doing the other trait, which is manipulation. Like if you know a narcissist well, they'll compliment you first before they do something to you. And then they'll go back to the compliment. But I say this about you, but I always say this about you. And it's usually just to cover up what they're about to do or what they have done. It's just the way it is. And then another trait is a lack of empathy. They unable or actually, well, some are unable, and then some are just totally unaware. And they cannot empathize with the needs, wants, or feelings of other people. It is a foreign language. Again, this lack of empathy, which is one of the main principles of emotional intelligence, makes it really, really difficult for them to take responsibility and accountability for their behavior. And then the last trait is arrogance. Woo. They will act as if they can only be the most educated person. They will be rude or abusive when they don't receive the treatment that they think they deserve. They will speak rudely or deem themselves above other people they deem inferior. Now I've broken down some of the signs. Does this sound very colonialist to you? I mean, every single point of this is the checkpoint of colonialism and white supremacy. I hate to bust those bubbles because I don't want to say that all white people are narcissists, but there are some traits that we all carry. Now, narcissistic personality disorder is a whole different deal. But as I said earlier, it is on a spectrum. So what do we do about it? That's the difficult part because once you've been love bombed and then you've been discarded and then maybe hoovered back again, and these are very particular phrases used by narcissist surviving groups. If you go and you do a search for narcissistic or narcissist survival groups, you will find hundreds. And that's because it happens so very often, usually to women more than men, but women are definitely narcissistic as well. So I'm not going to even genderize it to that degree. But like when the person or the group is in power, they usually have more of the negative aspects of being in power. So yeah, it's mostly men. Now, the question is how do we deal, just like in culture, how do we deal with narcissism? Well, it's difficult. Just like with racism in the world, it's difficult for white supremacists and colonialists and people of that nature to acknowledge that there is a problem with racism in the world, in the culture, especially America. They will fight tooth and nail. They will hide history, they will whitewash it, they will do whatever it takes so that this is not discovered. Well, so will individual narcissists. They won't seek help because they don't see that they're the problem. They usually think they know better than everyone else, and it's exhausting. So, to deal with them, first of all, the first step is to recognize if you have narcissism in yourself. You can begin that change it for your self-esteem by having some self-compassion, treating yourself with kindness instead of comparing yourself to others. Because one of the biggest problems is that low self-esteem that narcissists Carrie is because they're constantly comparing themselves to other people and what other people have and what they want from other people. It's just a constant comparing. So if you find that you are that person that is comparing yourself to others, stop it. Be kinder to yourself. Nobody can be another person, mainly because everybody has their own journey in this world that they are here to do for their growth, their development from this life to the other. You know, I get the metaphysical in there, but this is what I strongly believe. And I think there's a benefit in believing this because if you know that this is not your only time on this planet and this universe, you know you can approach things differently in the next. But also, karma, it keeps you accountable, you know, for the next as well. So if you are out here in these streets acting a fool and hurting people, you need to gain some self-awareness. And yeah, it's difficult. That's why I started teaching emotional intelligence and coaching people on it because self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation or purpose, compassion and or empathy, and social and community skills can make or break your whole existence in this lifetime to the next. You have more power than you think to change your reality, to manifest the reality that you want for your life. So, if you are recognizing that you may have narcissistic traits, you can do something about it. Now, if other people are telling you that you're a narcissist and you just deny, 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 or you've had several people tell you you're a narcissist and well, you may be. And if there is evidence that you are, you may be. Now, what's interesting that true narcissists with narcissistic personality disorder are proficient with projecting that onto their victim. And they will even say, oh, yeah, you're playing the victim, when in fact, it's them usually playing the victim because they want to get out of the problems that they cause for people because they really don't get why it's such a big deal, why your feelings matter, not matter more, but why they matter at all. And this is when the abuse comes in, and abuse comes in the form of sometimes physical, but a lot of times psychological. And they use a very particular technique called gaslighting. And that makes you challenge your reality. Like you will go, wait a minute, nobody else has called me this my whole life, but wait a minute, maybe I am. And you, if you are the person able to even consider that you're a narcissist, then you know what? You're probably not. So there are true narcissists with narcissist personality disorder that go into treatment, but it's usually to say, I'm in treatment. I know psychologists and psychotherapists that are good friends of mine. They say it's very, very difficult. And a lot of them will not see narcissists anymore. Because it is truly, truly a waste of their time because they can't get them to change their behaviors. They can't get them to follow the advice. They just genuinely think what they do is correct. So, my best advice on how to deal with a narcissist. After you recognize whether or not you are, or whether or not you are carrying any traits that could possibly even add to the conflict, you need to basically take some inventory on whether you should be in the relationship or not. I know it's difficult with, for example, parents. I've experienced that too. But here's the thing. If you continue to engage with these people, you will continue to suffer. So, what can we do? sometimes, depending on the situation, no contact is going to be the only way because, like I said, there's techniques that they use, such as hoovering, where they'll make you feel like everything is okay again, only to discard you again. One of the things that you need to do is maintain healthy boundaries. Convincing a narcissist that their behavior is incorrect is almost impossible. Matter of fact, they get off on the arguing. It pumps them up. It gives them power. So there's no reason to really argue. What you're going to have to do is be self-aware, regulate yourself, and understand why you really are doing or saying what you're saying. Now, like I said, that projection piece is really strong. So as you are trying to defend yourself against the narcissistic behavior, they will project the same narcissistic behavior on you. Don't take the bait. Just step up, step back. And I know that's harder said than done. It takes practice. It takes inner strength, especially if you're in a co-parenting situation. It can be very challenging. So, like I said, sometimes actually 100% minimum contact is the best way to go if the narcissist is basically out of your life. If you are in the relationship currently with a narcissist, you may need to reevaluate what your motivation, your needs are. And sometimes that abusive piece comes in financially. You know, if you are in the position where you depend on that narcissist financially, that's a challenging one. And I say that from personal experience. But you still need to set those boundaries and you need to legally set up agreements, even though they will try to break them, even though they will try to explain themselves out of them. The law is the law. That's all I can say. And if it goes too far, you can always take them to court. I think one of the things that you have to do is just don't get caught up in the way that they see things or see you. I mean, what people think about you is none of your business. And I always say that. Be prepared for the relationship to change because you will be pushing back on their needs and desires and coping mechanisms around admiration. And don't take it personally. I think that was the hardest part because you give your heart and soul to somebody and you really care about them. And then because you will not satisfy their constant need for adoration, you get discarded. It's a very hurtful, but again, it has nothing to do with you. So you have to let go of that need of approval. As I mentioned before, go online, get the support groups. Support groups have done a major, major thing for me. Like it really, brought me out. I thought I was crazy mode, but you know, because they will tell you things happen differently and you have to go back and reflect, but don't doubt yourself. You usually remember the correct way. And also look to do things that you really enjoy. Like I write children's books that teach emotional intelligence. I do this podcast. I am teaching emotional intelligence through writing and in seminars. I'm speaking about it. I realized that the gift from my situation is that I discovered how emotionally intelligent I was. And I'm not bragging. I'm saying, wow, I have spent my lifetime being really self-aware around my impact. And sometimes my impact is exactly what I want it to be. And sometimes it's not, but you know yourself, know thyself. So sometimes you need to say the things you need to say and not worry about the feelings of others, especially when they're manipulating you or taking advantage of you. But for the most part, I walk on the side of compassion for any woman, any person that is going through or going into a relationship with a narcissist. I am so empathetic for this that I sometimes put my own needs aside to support that person because I've been through it. Anyways, I want you all to reach out to me if any of this resonated with you. If you are questioning yourself on whether or not you're narcissistic, you probably do not have narcissistic personality disorder. You just have some traits which are fully ingrained in the culture of the world. Why? Colonialism. Why? Because there were a group of people who went around the world and told you that you were less than them and told the rest of the world that they were the best. And they still are operating in that system. We are still living in that system. So we're in this like shift of building our self-esteem up. And the part of the reason why I didn't say white people, because most of the people who are Caucasian or of the white complexion, which is a stupid word is, I'm not black complexion, I'm brownish, yellow, and red. But anyways, these designations were created to continue the divide. And what's interesting that most of the people who are in the white supremacist camp can't seem to wrap their head around because they're deeply embedded in narcissism is that they are not the ruling class. We have a very small percentage of people, families, just like during feudal European time, that is perpetuating, manipulating, and gaslighting us all. So this particular group that d decided to hate all people of color and keep them in line for the overseer, for the master, I like to call, are also the victims. And I see a lot of people waking up to that reality that they too are the victims of this system because color and race were invented. They were invented in order to the colonialists to become powerful before people traded all over the world. Before color and race was not a designation of your rights or your worthiness. It's really important to digest that in an emotionally intelligent way. Each individual is an individual for sure, but we operate within this particular system that has been very unhealthy and toxic to everyone. And even the people oppressing. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm starting my new year off getting new books out, and I will be talking to you about that soon. Please go check out the books I have on visceralifebooks.com, Galaxy's Well, I Love Pinka Transtail, and Leo the Technicolor Panther. They're great books that teach EQ with Q&A in the back of all the books so that you can explore the characters and the content of the story more deeply. It's a really important piece for me. And I always encourage the parents to read behind the book before they read the book to their children because it kind of prepares you to answer the questions and point out really important EQ things in the story that you can teach to your children during bedtime, during story time for teachers and caregivers. So I hope you enjoyed this episode again. Happy New Year. Welcome to season four of EQ Above IQ. I can't believe it's season four. It's gone by fast, but it's definitely been an amazing journey for me, and I hope I can continue. Before I let you go, check out Gentle Reminders clothing line because I created this clothing line for kids and adults to remind us to be more emotionally intelligent with each other, to remind us to be more kind and compassionate to each other, and that everybody is going through some type of struggle. I highlighted narcissism today only because that was fresh and hitting home for me right now. But there's all kinds of mental illnesses like bipolar. I suffer from PMDD that need a lot more compassion and empathy and self-awareness around it. So let's try to go out with this new year of 2022 and be more compassionate with each other because we've had a really tough last 3 years. So let's support ourselves and support them and have a blessed day.